I want to turn you tonight to the Gospel of Luke, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. Gospel of Luke, and chapter 22. And we're just reading a few verses at the beginning and a few verses on down the chapter. Luke 22 and verse number 1. It says, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude." And then you remember that when you read on down that chapter, you read about what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when we come down into the verses, into the 40s of the verses, we find that the Lord Jesus is coming out of Gethsemane. And verse 47 says this, "And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" And we'll end there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. I'm sure that many of us who are here tonight have maybe visited London. Many people visit London every year for all kinds of reasons. Some visit London on business. Great business transactions are done there. Some maybe visit London for family reasons. I have three sisters who live in London or on the outskirts of London. But millions of people visit London as tourists. They visit it as tourists. And as tourists, they go to see the sights, Buckingham Palace, St. Paul's Cathedral, the Houses of Parliament, and one could go on about all the sites there are in the capital. One of the places that many people go when they go to London is Madame Tussaud's Waxworks. It's a place where famous people have been made up in a wax figure to show them, and many people go to this place called Madame Tussaud's, and there's people there for many different reasons. Some are there, there's a part of it to do with royalty, and the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh and a whole lot of members of the royal family, they're there as you pass along the exhibition, and their portrait is there in Madame Tussaud's. And then, of course, there's politicians. The Prime Minister will be there. Others of the cabinet, famous people in the political world down through the years. And then, of course, there's many people who are famous as film stars and in drama and in the arts. And, of course, there's many of the great sporting heroes, and their figure will be depicted in wax. And they're there for what they have done, for what they have accomplished, or for what they have achieved. In other words, they're there for all the right reasons. But there's a part in this exhibition, and there's people in it, and the reason they're in Madame Tussaud's Waxworks is because they're there for all the wrong reasons. All the wrong reasons. People who have committed multiple murders, terrorists, and so on. They're there for all the wrong reasons. So if any of us here ever get our figure into Madame Tussauds waxworks, I trust that you'll be there for all the right reasons. We read here of a man called Judas Iscariot. And Judas Iscariot is one of the most famous men in history. But he's famous for all the wrong reasons. The Lord Jesus Christ is the most famous person who ever lived. I know that John Lennon, once of the Beatles, once said that the Beatles were more famous than Jesus Christ. And a few months after that, the group broke up, never come back together again. But Judas is famous, and he's well up the list of people who are famous. But he's famous for all the wrong reasons, because Judas is famous because he betrayed the Son of God for 30 pieces of silver. He's known as a betrayer, a traitor, and one who finished up by taking his own life. Judas was the son of Simon. He was of the tribe of Judah, and it's interesting that he came from the same tribe as Christ, because the Lord Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. He came from a place called Kerioth, and that's how he got his name. And of course, he's one of the Lord's disciples. And as we meet him tonight on the page of Scripture, I want to point out one or two things about this character called Judas Iscariot. You know, as we meet this man on the page of Scripture, we want to see, first of all, the privileges that Judas enjoyed. Being one of the disciples, he was the treasurer of the group. He spent much time in the presence of the Son of God. He had the privilege of walking with Christ. He had the privilege of watching Christ. He had the privilege of listening to Christ day after day and month after month. And he saw the power of Christ at work firsthand. He had a ringside seat, if you like. He saw the power of Christ at work. He saw his power over the sea, because Judas was in the boat that day when Jesus stood up and commanded the wind and the sea to obey him. He saw his power over Satan, because Judas was there that day when the Lord Jesus cast the legion of demons out of the man. He saw his power over sickness. He saw Christ touching the leper. He saw him touching the man who was blind and him being able to see. He saw him touching the lame and the lame man walking, and so on. He saw the power of Christ at work. What a privilege to be there and see it happening. He heard the preaching of Christ, not only the privilege of seeing the power of Christ at work, but he heard the preaching of Christ. He had the privilege of listening to the greatest preacher there ever was. He heard the Lord Jesus say, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." He heard him inviting the people to come unto him. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He saw not only the power of Christ at work, and not only the privilege of Christ, or not only the preaching of Christ, but he had the privilege of seeing the passion of Christ. He watched him taking the little children up in his arms and blessing them. He saw him reaching out to others. Judas had great privileges, and there's many like him who enjoy great privileges. We live in a land where we enjoy great privileges. I'm reading a book at the minute called Killing Christians. And it's a book about Christians who live at the minute in the Middle East, in Somalia, in Syria, and Iraq, and the terrible things that are happening because the Church of Jesus Christ, it's existent in Mosul and Aleppo and all these other places. And my dear friends, what people are prepared to do because of their love for Jesus Christ. My dear friends, there's people today, and we have great privileges, the privilege of freedom, the privilege of liberty, the privilege of being able to worship God as we see fit and go to whatever place of worship we see fit. Some have had the privilege of seeing the power of God transforming people's lives, changing them, transforming them. Many have had the privilege of hearing the Word of God since they were able to hear or understand. The privilege of hearing the gospel, the privilege of a Christian home and Christian parents. My, so many privileges. There's few in our land who haven't had the privilege of sitting under the gospel. Here's a man we see as we look at Judas Iscariot tonight, the privileges he enjoyed. But as we look at this man in the Gospels on the page of Scripture, we see something else about him. We see the pretense that Judas gave. Because as you consider the life of Judas, there's so much about his life which is a pretense, a cover-up. There was the pretense of his walk. He was one of the disciples. He had an important position. He was the treasurer. He carried the bag. But his walk was only an outward walk. His heart was not right with God. He was an imposter. He was false. He wasn't the whole deal. My, the pretense of his walk. Man, we see the pretense of his concern when Mary broke the box of ointment and anointed the Savior and got down and washed his feet with her hair. Man, he protested that the money would have been better spent on the poor. And man, it was only a pretense because he didn't care for the poor at all. And of course, there's the pretense of the kiss. Judas, Jesus said, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss. It was a pretense. You see, a kiss speaks of love and affection. And many may have thought that Judas cared for the Lord, but the kiss in Gethsemane was just a pretense. He was making sure that the rabble identified the right person. My dear friends, Judas may have thought he was covering his traces. He may have thought he was clever, but the Lord knew all about him. Because over in John's Gospel, chapter 6, and away down there in verse 70, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Yes, he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. And the Lord knew all about the kiss. And the Lord saw through the kiss. And he knew all about Judas. Other people may have been led astray by his actions and what he did and what he said, but the Lord Jesus knew all about him. And dear friends, let's remember this tonight. No matter who you are, that the Lord knows all about you. He knows all about you. He knows everything in your heart. We cannot hide from God. We may pull the wool over other people's eyes, but we cannot fool God. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So we see, as we look at this man, one of the most famous man that ever lived, the privileges Judas enjoyed and the pretense that he gave. He pretended to be a follower, a disciple. He pretended through the kiss to have affection for the Lord, but man, it was all false, and the Lord knew all about it. And then as we look at this man, we see the pathway Judas took. Over in John's Gospel, in chapter 13, we find Christ and his disciples in the upper room. And they're sitting round the table after supper. And it says here in verse 2, "And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." Yes, you know, the devil can put things into your heart. And the devil put into the heart of this man to betray the Son of God. And you know, friends, there's a battle goes on for the souls of men and women. And the devil can put barriers up in your heart. He can erect barriers. The devil can give you excuses of why you shouldn't come to Jesus Christ and trust him as your Savior. The devil can sow the seeds of doubt. My, the devil is active. He's seeking to draw people away from Christ, while the Spirit of God is seeking to draw people to Christ. And you know, at the table, it says here on down there, Jesus answered, the Lord Jesus said that one of them should betray him. And this took the disciples by surprise, and they questioned him about this. And he answered, and he says in verse 26, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now, what was the sop? What is the sop? Well, the sop was a morsel of bread. And it was a custom at that time that when the leader or the governor of the feast would take a morsel of bread and dip it in the vinegar, and he handed it to a particular person at the table, what he was doing was he was offering to them the hand of love. He was offering it in love and in forgiveness. And when the Lord Jesus took this morsel of bread and reached it over to Judas at the table, he was indicating to him, although he knew all about him, he was indicating to Judas that he loved him and that he was offering him, even at this point, the hand of forgiveness. He was reaching out to him even then. And it says, after the sup, Satan entered into him. Jesus said, "That thou doest, do quickly." And verse 30 says, "He then, having received the morsel of bread, went out, and it was night." And it was a very solemn scene at that table. Here's the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "One of you shall betray me. One of you is a devil." And yet he takes this morsel of bread and he offers it to Judas in love and with an act of forgiveness. And Judas, having received the sop, He got up from that table and he turned his back on Jesus Christ and he went out into the night. And that night, he turned his back on Jesus Christ for the last time. For the last time. And you know, friends, he preferred the silver to the Savior. This was the pathway that Judas took. And it was the pathway of rejection. And the pathway of rejection led to the pathway of destruction. Someone has said that that night, it was night on the inside. It was night on the inside of Judas's heart. And it was night on the outside when he went out through the door. It was the night time he went out into the night. And they said, you know, it was night on the other side because when he killed himself, he went out into the night of eternity. And there's many people tonight on the same pathway as Judas. Because time and time again, through the gospel, the Lord Jesus has offered to them in love, forgiveness, and salvation. He has offered to them in love and grace and mercy, forgiveness of their sins through faith in his blood. And yet many people get up out of meetings like this and they turn their back and they go out through the door and they go out into the night the same way as they came in. They go out into the night, Christ rejectors, on the pathway to destruction. The pathway of rejection. And that night, this man turned his back on Christ for the last time. That was the last time he ever sat in his presence. That was the last night he ever heard him speaking. That was the last night he ever had an opportunity to repent and to come. Maybe there's one here tonight, and this could be the last night. Maybe for many weeks and many months you've turned your back and gone out through the door into the night. Maybe in the last month of evangelism you've turned your back. My, after the Lord has offered to you the hand of forgiveness. But one night, friend, it will be the last night. It says, and he went out, and it was night. You know, the one that you turn your back on, the Son of God, my, he's the one who loved you. You're turning your back on God's love. You're turning your back on the cross of Calvary. Because God's love, God loved you so much that he gave his Son. He couldn't have given anything more. He gave his only son, his darling son. He gave him to be the substitutionary sacrifice for sin. And Christ on the cross shed his blood. He gave his blood as a sacrifice for sin. My dear friend, he died that you might be forgiven. He made an atonement for sin. My, he finished the work and rose again. And through the gospel tonight, God offers to men and women, to young people, to boys and girls, he offers them in love forgiveness and pardon, salvation. What will you do with Jesus? Will you do as Judas Iscariot did that night? He preferred 30 pieces of silver to the Savior. Lot's wife, you remember that Lot and his wife lived in Sodom, and God sent two angels to Sodom to warn them about the coming judgment upon the cities of the plain, and they got them by the hands and brought them out of Sodom and led them and showed them a place of refuge. And it says that Lot's wife looked back. In fact, it means she turned back and became a pillar of salt. Lot's wife preferred worldly sin to salvation. She perished. She turned her back on the place of refuge. Orpha and Ruth, two sisters-in-law who were married to the sons of Naomi and Elimelech, and they stood in the borderline between Bethlehem, Judah, and Moab. And the Bethlehem, Judah was the land of promise, and Moab was the land of the curse. And my Naomi was going back to her own people in the land of promise, to Bethlehem, Judah. And Ruth said, "Where thou goest, I will go, and where thou dwellest, I will dwell." And she went into the land of Bethlehem, Judah, the land of bread, the land of plenty. And it says of Orpha that Orpha went back to her gods. She turned her back on the house of bread and on the place where her need would be met. And Esau sold his birthright for a mess of pottage, the equivalent of a bowl of lentil stew. His birthright was so cheap as that. People are prepared to take the pathway of rejection for a very cheap price. They value their soul very cheaply. Yes, for a packet of cigarettes or a fix in the drugs or whatever, or because of their pride. My dear friends, we see here as we look at this man, the privileges he enjoyed and the pretense he gave, the pathway he took, and we see here the price he paid. Over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, we read about Judas here. It says in Matthew 27 at the beginning of the chapter here, you remember they gave him 30 pieces of silver in verse 5, it says, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. He realized when it was too late, and he threw down those 30 pieces of silver. And you could hear them jangling as they ran across that old stone temple floor. You could nearly hear the jangle of the silver coins that Judas cast away from him. But he sold the Savior for 30 pieces of silver, and he sold more than the Savior. He sold a soul. That's what he rejected the Savior for. 30 miserable pieces of silver. And when he realized what he had done, he went out and hanged himself. This man went into death, having rejected the Savior. He went in to the night of eternity without Christ. He went into the darkness of the night, and he went out into the darkness of eternity. There's many people like Judas Iscariot, privileged. Yes, but in spite of their privileges, they're going into death without a Savior. They're going into the night of eternity. Dear friend, tonight, God, in love and mercy, is holding out to you the hand of love and forgiveness, and he's offering to you forgiveness and salvation. Don't be making the wrong decision like Judas. Judas, the man who's famous for all the wrong reasons. Don't be turning your back on the Savior of men as he did. May you be wise and put out the hand of faith tonight and receive that offer that God in His grace through His Son is offering to all that's here. May the Lord bless His word, speak to our hearts for Christ's sake and for His glory. Amen.